I'm Pierre Lumumba here at the Maruba Dam in Machakos County in the Republic of Kenya. Continent is Africa. And we continue the conversations. And today, almost 150 years to the date, because the Battle of Adwa was fought on the first day of March in the year 1896. Between Ethiopia, then led by King Menelik II, and the Italians had different generals, but Oreste, the Italian, emerged as one of the more prominent ones. And the Battle of Adwa must be understood once again in the context of Berlin, because Berlin has taken place between 1884 and 1885. And the Italians have already identified the areas that they want to occupy. They have been in Libya, they have been in Somalia, and they are targeting Ethiopia. So when they get into Ethiopia, they discover that this is a place where there is organized governance systems. Menelik II and his wife Taitu are the dominant figures claiming their lineage to Solomon in the Bible. They are running a state which is a thriving state. They are planting things that we now know, such as coffee, what we now teff, which makes injera, which Ethiopia is famous for. And they actually pretend, the Italians, that they want to have some kind of collaboration with the Ethiopians. And in 1889, they enter into the famous Treaty of Wichela. The Treaty of Wichela has two versions. There is one version that is written in Italian language, and there is one version that is written in the Amharic language, which is the lingua franca within the Ethiopian territory. And as was typical of many of these colonizers, there is a difference in the two versions. The Italian version says that Ethiopians have agreed to be a protectorate of Italy. The Amharic version does not contain that. And there is a contestation as to which is the one that takes precedence. And lo and behold, on the first day of March 1896, the Italians, thinking that they will decimate the Ethiopian, start a war. Permit me to use the word demographics, but the numbers are important. The numbers are important because the Italian force is 15,000 strong. They also have mercenaries, 6,000 of them, called the Ascari. And the word Ascari is a word that had been used. I think it was borrowed from the Turks. And the Ascaris are 6,000 of them fighting on the side of the Italians, who do not know the terrain. What does Menelik do? He assembles an army, and the accounts, of course, are different, but in excess of 100,000. And the Italians, of course, believe that no African army has the capacity to defeat a European army. And in my view, they are very casual about it. So casual are they that they think that this is going to last for a very short time. But they are surprised. They are surprised because they are surrounded and decimated. And the Battle of Adwa stands out as the battle when an organized African army bloodied the nose of a European imperialist army in a manner that had not been seen before. And the significance of this battle, short as it was, short-lived as its impact was, is that it told a story. It told a story that indeed it was possible for an African army organized in a proper way to defeat the colonizers. And it gave impetus, and one can argue that subsequent struggles that were then mounted in the continent of Africa by way of resistance were actually aided by the stories of the Battle of Adwa. So that when one talks about the Battle of Adwa, the tendency is to say, and I know that the Ethiopians celebrate as they must, to say that it was an iconic war against colonization. And that is critical. It is critical because even after the Battle of Adwa, the Italians did not quite leave. The campaigns continued up to deep into the 20th century, leading up to the exile of King Emperor Haile Selassie at that time, when the Italians actually wanted to conquer and dominate Ethiopia. But ultimately, because of the Battle of Adwa, Ethiopia remains one of the only, in fact, the only country in the continent of Africa which was never colonized in the classical sense. There is no foreign power that ever dominated the country that we now know as Ethiopia. But it's important to point out that this country was at one time known as Abyssinia, and that when we talk about Ethiopia, sometimes we ought to remember that there are historians who describe this as Abyssinia, and that there are historians who try to say that this was essentially a battle between the Italians and the Amhara. It was not between the Amhara, the Italians, and the Tigrinya. It was not between the Italians and the Oromo. And that also explains why the small sliver of land that we now know as Eritrea remained outside of the sphere of the domination of the Ethiopian Empire, because there is quite a big Tigrinya population in modern-day Eritrea. Going forward, we must then ask ourselves the critical question of what significance was the Battle of Adwa in the scheme of the process of colonization and the subsequent processes of decolonization. So loud was the reverberation of this particular Battle of Adwa that it was heard even in the Caribbean. And today, in fact, when we talk about the Battle of Adwa and we talk about the Rastafari movement, because Emperor Haile Selassie's actual given name was Prince Rastafari, ultimately becoming the Rastafarian movement. And this is important because it is traceable to the heroics of Adwa that individuals outside of Ethiopia, such as Marcus Garvey in Jamaica, were talking about it and saying we can now go back to the mother continent because we have demonstrated that it can be done. Individuals such as Sylvester Williams of Trinidad and Tobago start the Pan-African movement because they are saying the Battle of Adwa is an iconic battle. It is also iconic that when the Organization of African Unity is being founded in 1963, Ethiopia and Addis Ababa become the logical site after debate had existed whether the first meeting should be held in Accra, Ghana, or in Cairo, in Egypt. That is the significance of the Battle of Adwa. And it is argued that if you look at the subsequent resistance, whether it is in West Africa or in East Africa, the Battle of Adwa remains a constant point of reference. And in that sense, the success of Menelik II and the wife Taitu has come to exemplify the resisting spirit and to debunk the myth that no African army at all had the capacity to withstand the more sophisticated European armies. Of course, we know, as already stated, that the Italians did go back, reorganize, and continued the activities, but history has immortalized the fact that the Battle of Adwa was drawing of the line in the sand, and it is because of the Battle of Adwa that Ethiopia was never conquered, Ethiopia was never colonized, and Ethiopia remained a country that has defined its culture, defined its education, defined its economy, defined its international relations, and defined the manner in which it relates to the world. And even subsequently, when the Italians themselves reorganized themselves, their relationship with the Ethiopians was one that was defined by mutual respect, because the spirit of the Battle of Adwa was still lingering, and the Italians were reminded, if they needed reminding, that an organized force can actually decimate you and neutralize your very being. The question is, therefore, when we talk about the process of recent attempts at recolonization of African countries, what are the lessons to be learned from the Battle of Adwa? And I think the Battle of Adwa has continued to be celebrated by the Ethiopians and by different African countries in different capitals, at the instigation, of course, of the Ethiopian administration, as a reminder to Africans that you have a duty to resist foreign domination. The Battle of Adwa has become that single battle that is identified times without number. The second most important lesson to be learned from the Battle of Adwa is that when you are organized, it is important to resist forces. And it is also a lesson to the organizers that you have a duty to respect treaties. Many people don't remember the Treaty of Uccella, and the Treaty of Uccella is indicative of some of the treaties that Africans are entering into. And I remember a recent debate, and a friend of mine said, when you are dealing with any foreign power where treaties are written in multiple languages, don't be Uccellaed. To mean, ensure that all versions are speaking the same thing and saying the same thing. Otherwise, you'll have your own Battle of Adwa. So that the Battle of Adwa has also become a term of art in telling us that if the terms of a treaty are not properly understood and properly recorded, then you cannot escape a battle to define what the treaty actually meant. The Battle of Adwa will always stand out in the sands of time as a battle where the Ethiopians and by extension Africans demonstrated to the colonizers that we can bloody your nose. Thank you very much. As we continue these interesting conversations about the continent of Africa, today we focused on the great and epic battle of Adwa in modern day Ethiopia. We'll see you again as we continue the conversation. Thank you.